ago, and it's been like 2 weeks now.
All those custom things. Oh, my Zuzzy mats finally showed up.
Oh, nice.
The two 4x4s. Mm-hmm. It took forever, but then they emailed me. They're really apologetic. They're like, "Hey, you know, we got them out finally. Those will be showing up. We sent you some free stuff because of the delay."
Yeah, and see, now, like, that's cool.
But the other thing, I was like, you know what, dude? I didn't even care about the delay on your shipment thing. It said like 5 to 6 weeks. That's really long. So when I was buying it, I was like,
"It's gonna take about 5 to 6 weeks.
I'm going to get this in a long time." It ended up taking like 9 weeks, I think.
Wow.
But see, I would not have had a problem with it, but the dude's communication was awful, because I emailed him when it was 7 weeks. I was like, "Hey, I haven't seen any update in my order. You know,
yeah.
No response." So then I emailed him again later. No response. Again later. No response. Again later. No response. And I was like, the last email someone was like, "Hey, I haven't heard anything from you. I don't know what your situation is, but I'm going to file a PayPal claim because I haven't heard anything. I have no, you know."
Yeah.
And then he finally sent me a return email when he had shipped my order. And I'm like, and I sent him an email back, and I'm like, "Dude, just email me beforehand. I would have been more than willing to wait." So I'm really excited to bust them out of the box and play with them and see how they are.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like this Lico, it's, you know, it's been about 2 weeks. Granted, it is a custom cut for hex spaces.
I usually say double the normal ship time for custom.
And so I'm just like, so it's like, as I said, I'm done with the core set. I just need to base them on the custom hexes.
Yeah.
As you see, I already got them on the squares.
They're very nice.
I don't like the squares, though. I like the hexes. I think
the hexes look much better.
Look much better.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I got to make an order for some more 50 so I can do all the terrain up. And I want to do all the expansions. I'm going to do them in order. Got to do the Lannisters, the Starks, you know, all that fun stuff.
Do they have Greyjoys?
Not yet. Baratheons are the ones. Greyjoys are probably next.
I know you were talking about your huge nerd boner for the Baratheons coming.
Oh, the Baratheons. Well, it's really cool because...
Why do you gotta like the Baratheons?
I love the Baratheons. I think they're like the most interesting family in Westeros.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
welcome to the lifestyles of the rich in Westeros.
Yes. Yeah, so... Because I was actually talking... I was in a standard internet fling... Not a flame war, but just
I don't always usurp the king, but when I do, he's a Targaryen.
I mean, I was on a standard, like... I'm on a message board, and I'm like... Like, a guy's like... I'm rooting for the Starks. I'm like, fuck you. You don't know. Starks are fucking gay. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm furiously typing, like destroying this guy online. I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm 30 years old. I should stop doing this.
Congratulations. You've just stopped. You took your first step.
Oh, no. I've done this before. I'm just saying that.
No. Because now you're older. So 10 years down the line.
I know.
10 years down the line, the bitter, internet, angry grognard. That's going
I'm
to be
already,
you.
Well, I'm already there, dude. It's like, but I just like, I'm the...
Oh, no. You aren't at the level. We're talking like you're pretty much homeless at this point. You're typing on a laptop that you're hijacking the Starbucks' Wi-Fi because they kicked you out of there. And you're like, fuck you, Catelyn Stark is not hot.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's good.
No, I've taken part in many in the internet.
We're nerds, obviously. That
I was.
How else are you going to argue? Like, who are you going to argue? Captain Picard, or Captain Kirk? Like, that's number one, biggest one.
I've never wanted to make that. I've never taken part in that argument because I frankly like them both. So I couldn't.
You're too much of a fan of both.
I'm too much of a fan of both.
I agree.
And actually, this is going to be a good.
But Captain Janeway.
Oh, Captain Janeway. No, but what really does piss me off though is the guys that you've seen that site, right? The guys who argue whether a Star Destroyer versus the Enterprise, which would win?
Yeah, clearly the Enterprise. There's no question, because if the Star Destroyer ever actually started to win, they would just be like, quick, the Nebula, and they'd get away. So either the Star Destroyer is going to lose because they're going to defeat it, or they'll escape in the Nebula or use a Quasar or something.
This is the way I look at it. Star Destroyer is filled with goons. The Enterprise is filled with heroes. Heroes defeat goons
every time. It's true. It'd be like if you're to do the 40K comparison, it's 5 Space Marine commanders against like 10 orc boys.
It's not even that. It's
Marnaeus Kalgar.
Vogel
Dorn.
It's the Hero Marines. Remember the
Movie Marines.
Movie Marines versus an orc
boys.
Yeah. It's, of course, the Movie Marines are going to win, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, they're like, they're totally overpowered. You can't even hurt them.
Yeah, but I never take part in the boards like that, even though I vehemently hate Star Wars with every ounce of fiber in my body. Which is a good transition.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
I don't even think we did the Star Wars song. We both forgot it. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Which is really funny because, you know, I don't want to go like too much into like why I hate Star Wars.
I mean, we were planning this as an all Star Wars cast.
Yeah. I mean, as I say, there's other stuff I do want to talk about today because there are
But you want to talk about Star Wars more.
Yeah. There's a couple new releases that I want to talk about and stuff like that. But I want to talk about just like Star Wars gaming because Star Wars gaming is a huge part of me growing
started
up.
Started with the West End games. That's the first thing I did. I did the
West End games.
They were awesome. The D6 system.
Yeah.
That was the first Star Wars game I played. End Star Wars role-playing D6.
Mine was the Decipher card game.
Okay.
The customizable, not the collectible.
Customizable because they had to differentiate themselves from the Magic. From Magic.
I dropped so much money on Star Wars.
How far did you play up to? What expansion? What was your last one?
The last one I really played was
Jabba's Palace. Same here.
But I did collect after Jabba's Palace.
I didn't collect after Jabba's Palace.
I never played after Jabba's Palace. Jabba's Palace is like so many aliens, I don't know what to do.
And you finally had Figurin Dan and the modal nodes.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
What was that stupid little thing that sat next to him?
Salacious Crumb.
Salacious Crumb. I had the Salacious Crumb character, and I was like, Salacious motherfucking Crumb! Like, I put him in every deck.
It's like, you can't even... It's a light side deck. You can't put Salacious Crumb. I don't care!
You just slap their cards off the table.
Force powers!
Force powers!
Attrition! Force strain!
Yeah.
I love that card game. It was.
It was actually an awful card game.
Oh, I haven't played that many...
Absolutely terrible. I played it a lot. And the amount of games I've played, the amount of card games I've played, awful, awful game. Its rules were okay, but all of... it was just... Okay, so the whole thing is you're playing Star Wars, and what do you want to see in Star Wars? You want to have, you know, Han Solo fighting against some stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Or you want to have an X-Wing, you know, doing a dogfight with a TIE fighter.
Yeah.
Or you want to have Luke infiltrating the Death Star and, you know, tacking some dudes and trying to save Ben Kenobi and he gets wrecked by Vader. So on and so forth. And the Star Wars card game looks like you can do all of those things. You're like, there's everything. There's Y-Wings and B-Wings.
I can put my guys inside spaceships and fly the spaceships around.
I can play with the AT-ATs. I have a special mission card where you have to blow up the reactor. This is the greatest game of all time. But when you actually implement that and play the game, anyone trying to do anything cool in that game loses immediately.
Yes.
Because the best strategy, light side, well, you have Son of Skywalker, you put him on Dagobah, you make sure that dark side can't put anything to fight you, and you just force train. And now, ladies and gentlemen, force training is, if you have a character at a location, so say Luke is hanging out on Tatooine, and the enemy does not have a character there, so he's on Tatooine, all in his lonesome, probably going to Tashi Station, pick up some power converters, you can do what it's called.
Tashi Station to pick up some power converters!
Padme! I hate them!
So you can waste time with your friends later.
He was killing younglings.
We'll get into that later.
So the Force Drain, all the location cards had little lightsabers, which is how many points they were worth to either the dark or light side or both. So say Tatooine has two lightsabers for both. So you've got Luke hanging out on Tatooine. No one's there. He can do what is called a Force Drain. And because there's two lightsabers, you take two cards off your opponent's deck.
Yeah.
Throw them in their discard.
What I like doing with Force Drain is I used to do this. I used to go... Whoa, 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 whoa. See, that was the sound of Force Drain.
That would have gotten really annoying because I played the attrition decks. So, or not the attrition decks, the Force Drain decks.
Yeah,
so,
I played a Dagobah Turtle deck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have Son of Skywalker and Dagobah, you give him all of his Jedi training so he gets extra points of Force Training, and you make it so your opponent can't put a single card down, and you just take cards off the top of the deck.
And see,
very interactive and fun.
I was young and I didn't really know, and I would buy, like, InQuest magazine, and they would say, like, how to play the Dagobah. I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna play this deck. I have all these cards. I'm gonna give this a fucking try. And I put all my cards, and like my opponent would be like, the Dagobah Turtle deck. Well, I have the Super Star Destroyer!
And he'd lose anyway, because it's not as good.
Yeah.
No, that was the problem. The combat in the game, the action, the what you wanted to see, was never any good at actually beating the strategies of the game.
Yeah.
The strategy game didn't gel with what the story is.
And of course, this was during the reign of the power gamer. This is when power gaming like started getting really big. Is like, I have to hand it to the Cypher game. It actually felt like a real good Star Wars game. It had all the components.
It looked like a good Star Wars game.
But what you could do in there was kind of fun.
It was cool. You could have Luke jump into an X-Wing and fly.
Yeah.
Like, that's sweet.
As long as I wasn't playing against, like, jackass McNerdpants.
Or who someone would, who knows how to play the game.
Or someone who knows how to play the game. Or even someone who knows how to play the game. I mean, if, like, a person was having fun, like, had a theme deck and was just out to play for fun.
Well, the first tournament I won, because before they had any sort of card... I don't think... They, actually, you know what? I don't think they ever put number of card restrictions in the deck. Like, Magic, you can only use four of a single card.
No, there was no
There was never a restriction in Star
No,
Wars.
You could have, like...
Unless the card had a specific number, right?
I think, like, character cards...
And I think there were some actions or interrupts that had specific numbers.
Maybe, but, I don't know.
So, first set. The first set comes out, everyone's like, you know, they're getting Darth Vader, and they're like, I'm gonna destroy shit with Vader, this is gonna be sweet. You know, everyone's planning, like, yeah. I made a light side deck that was, I think it was a 50-card minimum. My deck was 50 Corellian Corvettes. And in the core set, because, I mean, they were super cheap, everyone had a ton of them, and I was like, hey, can I have your Corellian Corvettes? And they're like, oh, sure, idiot, you can have them.
Stupid.
Yeah, these are good for toilet paper. So I went to the tournament, it was a 35-player tournament at Cosmic Charlie's, and everyone there was like, you know, like, oh, we're so good, you know, I've got Vader, and I've got, you know, the others are like, I've got Obi-Wan and Luke, yeah. You know, we're so good. And I took my fucking deck of 35 Corellian Corvettes, and I tabled everyone. Didn't lose a single game, went back the next week. Did it again. And I literally... The number of people playing in the tournments went down because I was just there beating
you
with
were,
my curling
you were being a fun vampire.
Until finally, there was a final showdown right before the release of Hoth, which I believe was the first expansion.
Second expansion. New Hope was the first.
New Hope. No, New Hope was the original set.
No. The original set was the original...
Oh, Premiere.
Premiere.
Yeah. Okay, so right before New Hope, it was just Premiere, when it was just Corellian Corvettes. The final showdown for the last round was me versus another dude who had a Corellian Corvette deck. And I was like, how many of you are playing with Corellian Corvette decks? And like, seven dudes raised their hand. And I'm like, that's my deck! You can't do that! So, yeah.
Wow, you single-handedly killed a game for people.
I did. It was awesome.
You wrecked someone's childhood.
I mean, I was a child at the time.
Yeah, but I'm still saying you wrecked someone's childhood while being a child, nonetheless.
That's impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually you have to be an adult to wreck someone's childhood.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that was like that, and then that actually got me into, because I would go to Gamers Paradise at like Chicago Ridge Mall.
Yeah.
And buy my cards, and then that's where I discovered that they had the Star Wars RPG, which I didn't know, because they actually...
That wasn't West End by that point, no?
Yeah, it was West End. Because it was like a lot of the... The early...
Because I know the Wizards got the Star Wars license, but...
Oh, no, this was before Wizards.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Yeah, this was West End. With the D6.
Yes. That system was
so good.
Robusto!
It was so clean, and it was so... And you want to know the reason why it was so fun to play? I get... Sum it up in two words. No Jedis.
Yep.
That's what made that game so fucking fun to play.
Yep. Because everyone could be Boba Fett.
Everyone could be a bounty hunter. Everyone was either a bounty hunter, or a smuggler, or a soldier.
Or a spy.
You could be, but the same thing, soldier, spy, whatever. Yeah. It's all like these really fun things to play and play around. There's no Deus Ex Machina of the Jedi going, let me use my Jedi powers. I take it there was one Jedi class, and that was the Quixotic Jedi.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not.
Even him, it was like, okay, you attempt to use your Jedi powers.
Yeah, exactly.
And it would fail like 60%
because they were just a natural. They could just do it, but they weren't trained in the powers of the Force.
You know, or else they even believe...
I mean, maybe they didn't have enough midichlorians.
I actually played in a game where one of my players was a Quixotic Jedi, but he had no Jedi powers. He just believed he was a Jedi. I thought that was brilliant. Like, why not?
That's awesome.
Because he would.
So, how did he not get just destroyed as soon as the first blaster was drawn?
Well, that's what, you know, he would do stuff like that, and we work it into the game. Like, that was like one of the guys was like a bodyguard for him, so he's like, I'm gonna attempt to like sing that the other guy would like knock him over.
Like, oh, I've been knocked off my feet somehow.
Yeah, but eventually he gained some powers just through like.
I only have one comment to say to you know, reflect on that little story.
Good.
I'm a Toy Darian. Mind tricks don't work on me.
I'm a Toy Darian. Mind tricks don't work on me.
George Lucas.
We're not there yet.
We're still in the good parts.
We are in like circa 1997.
We're in the good parts.
Yeah, Star Wars the Star Wars movies had just gotten re-released for the 20th anniversary.
The special editions.
Yes. He's on the computer. Wants a computer.
So
that's 98. And we're in 97.
That's what's Empire, right?
Yeah. This is where it's like, oh, wow, Jabba the Hutt. Oh, look, he's CG. And then you're like, something's
And bad. Han's weird, like, yeah. hop up when he walks on his yeah. tail, but he, like, jumps on. It's really weird.
This, you're saying to yourself, there's just something that's not right with this. And my favorite part of that was Boba Fett walking in there like, hey, kids, I'm Boba Fett. And then he walks off. I mean, you can't see it, but it's like I'm walking, and I turn and look at the camera like, hey, like, if I could wink, if you could see me wink underneath this helmet.
Oh, he was winking.
Oh, yeah.
You know he was
Tamora winking. Tamora Morrison was...
No, it was... Oh, yeah, he'd be Tamora Morrison at that yeah. point. He wasn't the little kid.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the BS thing of it. I mean, but you didn't think of that. In 97, you're just like, ah, oh, cool. Like look, the X-Wings look fake now. They don't look like real X-Wings. But yeah, and then that's... So I played a lot of those two games, the card game and the RPG, and I know you probably played a lot of that, too.
Oh, yes.
The RPG. You like the RPG?
I was a huge fan. I was a huge fan of the West End system, and not to stray too far from Star Wars, but West End used the system for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They had fantasy, cyberpunk, all sorts of shit. But one of my favorite systems was another licensed product. It was Ghostbusters.
Oh, and I've heard good things about
that. I've been trying to find a sealed copy of Ghostbusters. It is impossible. Like, I'm like, literally, I could be like, I will pay you any price, and people would be like, I don't have one. I can't give it to you. So I don't even know if it's valuable. I mean, it might be. But no one has them. But a sealed copy, impossible to find. But what they did for that game is, it was the same D6 system that all the other West End games were, but they added a special glow-in-the-dark die called the Ghost Die. And whenever you would fight a ghost, whenever he did anything, the Ghost Die would roll, and the Ghost Die had symbols on it. There was like one or two symbols. I think one was the ghost with the no on it, and the other one was just the ghost. So if you roll the ghost with the no on it, the ghost has like a special ability that does. And then vice versa, if you roll the other ghost, there's like another ability. So like, you could be fighting Slimer, say, and Slimer got his basic attacks trying to get the busters, and then if you roll the ghost symbol, he's got like the belch, and he like belches, and all the ghostbusters have to be sick.
I would love to play that game. My problem is I feel like I would just quote lines from the movie the entire
but
time.
But see, the best part, they actually have it set up where there was a quip thing where you could make a quip and you could like use quotes from the movie in your game.
I mean, like, I would constantly be like,
back right. off, man. I'm a scientist.
Alright, so at this point, I want to play two keys on the piano. What do I have to roll for that? What do I have to roll for that?
I watched the movie
the other day. You gotta roll five.
I watched the movie the other day, and one of the funniest fucking scenes I've seen, maybe in a movie ever, is when fucking Lewis Tully runs up to that guy, and he's talking to his horse, and then the dude's like, what the hell's wrong with you, man? He's like, you will all perish in flames, and he runs away and he falls down the garbage cans, and the guy's like, what an asshole. I was laughing my ass off. You will all perish in flames, and he's down in the garbage cans. What the shit?
No. The funniest part of that movie is the most subtle part. It's when they're sitting and he's like, switch me on. They're in the elevator and he switches them on.
Oh, yeah. And they back off.
It's just that slight nudge to the side.
Yeah, why worry? Each of us is wearing a non-licensed nuclear accelerator on our backs.
I wish we had more success. I wish we had more success in the field. I blame myself. Yeah, I do too.
Tell them about the Twinkie.
No. If we're going to quote a line, this will be the last line. It's like, during the third rectification of the Valdrani, he came in the form of a giant spore.
And then, in the second rectification, he came in the form of a giant tor. Many schlubs and zools knew to be roasted in the depths of the slore that day, I can tell you.
The part where he adds that, I can tell you, is what makes it. All right, so... The year's 1998.
Back to Star Wars.
Dun, dun, we're through. We are in the second Star Wars revival.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, Star Wars had its peak. Like, 1977, it comes out.
Action figures.
Yeah. It comes out.
I know that the game was the 80s.
It goes up, you know, all throughout, like, early 80s. Then it kind of goes downhill, like, early 80s, like, you know, droids and, you know, Battle for Endor and stuff. And that's where it goes down, and it kind of goes to a lull for a while. Then it comes back, starts kind of creeping back up in the mid-90s. Power of the Force line comes
and
out.
And the CCG did a lot for it, too, because, I mean, the CCG was not, like, pretty much kept alive by the fact it was licensed.
Oh, and you have all the books coming out, you know, the Thrawn trilogy, which had a fantastic source book.
No Yuuzhan Vong.
They're not there yet! God damn it!
You're living in the past, man!
No, but I'm saying, it's like, you have the Power of the Force line, the Star Wars toys come out in like early 95, 96.
So good.
Thrawn trilogy, which had an amazing source book from West End.
Yes, it did.
Oh, and all those source books.
Maybe the little lizard guys?
Yeah. The oh, the Yilsari, something like that.
I think it was the Yoslani.
Sure. Something like that. It starts with a Y.
Yeah,
but it's like, oh, this is really fucking cool. Like all the West End source books were fucking amazing.
Yeah, West End was a great. I want to talk about West End on a cast, not this one, but I want to talk about the rise and fall. Not just West End. Not just West End. I want to talk about the rise and fall of the great gaming companies.
We'll do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there we have. We have the resurgence through gaming. Some great video games came out. You know, Shadows of the Empire.
N64.
A Rogue Squadron. All the comic books. And then, in 1999, a little movie called Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
This is going to be the most badass thing I've ever seen. Did you see that Darth Maul guy? He's got spikes in his head. He's got a double-sided lightsaber.
What the shit? You're, like, flipping your shit. Like, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You see, there's so many Jedi. Did you see Qui-Gon? Dude, it's Liam Neeson. Neeson.
You're playing the music in the background. Yeah, because remember the music video for that came out long before the movie did, and everyone was just like, they played it on MTV like over and over, and every time it was on, I just jacked the volume, and it was like,
Star Wars kid is like flipping. He's like, and then the Star Wars gaming dots right there.
Yeah. the West End Games is like Kaputsky at this point.
Well, yeah, West End Games, they lose the license to Wizards of the Coast.
I think they lost license already because they were in financial trouble.
Yeah, they were financial.
And then
trouble.
Wizards picked it up.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what made Decipher lose their CCG license.
Yeah, Decipher lost theirs.
Because Wizards basically came in and kicked everyone in the dick.
Yeah. Decipher lost it because Decipher did one series for Episode 1.
Yeah.
Phantom Menace. They did the Phantom Menace series. It was the last one they did for Decipher.
But that came out at the same time as Young Jedi, which was the first.
Oh, God, was that game terrible?
It was the first Wizards. Oh, yeah, it was awful.
I went to Cypher Games and Comics, and I played a couple people there, and I'm like, this is the worst fucking game I've ever played in my life.
Oh, it's bad.
Oh, it's the worst Star Wars game of all time.
Oh, it's bad. Actually, the later game Wizards did, the mechanics of the newer game with the old stuff, I think they would have had a successful line. However, I'm sure, you know, Lucasfilm was like, you've got to use the new stuff.
Yeah.
Because what they did is they set the game up so there was a character battle, there was a land battle, and there was a space battle.
I saw that. That was just a board game, though.
It was a CCG.
It was a CCG.
Yeah, it was Star Wars, they called it, I think, trading card game. Star Wars TCG.
Yes.
Because they couldn't use CCG, and they obviously weren't going to use Young Jedi because they got it flopped. But it was awesome because you had your spot where you've got...
You have something to add about Star Wars?
I actually love that card game.
Young Jedi?
I don't remember what it was called.
No, the TCG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the TCG. Oh, okay.
It was good.
Not Young Jedi.
I love it because Stormtroopers had a penalty to hitting named characters.
Yes. Okay. Stormtroopers sucked at shooting named characters. They had a special rule. Because they first started it with all the prequel stuff. And there was a bunch of sets of the prequel stuff. They did eventually go into the original trilogy, but by that point it was too late.
Well,
it was too late.
Yeah, it's always too late, and that's...
It's always too late for Star Wars.
And the RPG system that Wizards put out was...
D20.
Was D20,
which... It was dog shit.
Let me just say...
The first one that it was dog shit, because the thing is, they did, because the Star Wars Wizards of the Coast games didn't have editions like D&D, they didn't have, like, Star Wars First Edition and then, like, Star Wars Second Edition. They called them Saga Edition and, like, various other things. The first one was dog shit, because it was like, all you are a Jedi. If you play a dark Jedi, you just die, because they had all of their abilities gave you, like, penalties and, like, stat.
Yeah, it's like, ah!
Yeah, so you'd have stat debuffs and a bunch of penalties for being a dark Jedi, but when you actually tried to play the character, you're like, my guy can't do anything, he's a cripple.
Let me add something.
He's in a Scooty Puff Jr. shooting Force Lightning. He's like,
absolute power! I want to put a coda on this. Not a coda, I want to put just, like, an addendum on this, because... In the 90s, there was an edition of the West End version that was through Knights of the Old Republic, which is all Jedi.
Knights of the Old Republic totally works.
But I didn't play too much of Knights of the Old Republic just because we were so into our own, into the gaming and the original series.
Knights of the Old Republic works because when I was playing, I'll never play another Star Wars game again.
Neither will I.
But when, because everyone was trying to get me to play the MMO, and I was just like, fuck that shit, Star Wars, eat dicks.
Steve was raising his middle fingers for those, because that works really well on the podcast.
Well, I mean, I assume they're going to eventually be able to see me at some point.
Yes. Oh, God. The ratings will just drop.
What ratings?
we do pretty pretty well.
Yeah, whatever. I'm sure your ma listening in the basement is really gonna, you know, whatever. But what was my point? Fuck yeah, it's Star Wars.
No, you're Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay, so when you play Star Wars, that would be, I'll say classic Star Wars at this point. You want to be, like, traveling around in space and getting in adventures and, like, you know, going to Cloud City. That's what you want. You want, like, you want to be running around and having cool adventures and meeting interesting characters and doing things that are interesting. But when you play Old Republic is, like, there's shit tons of Jedi and there's lots of, like, monsters.
Yeah.
Many, many monsters. And then there's the Mandalorians you can fight, that kind of shit. And so when you're playing Old Republic, you want to be...
If I could describe how Wizards game was like, that's what it was like. It was just like, it's like, I have no idea what's going on.
But see, the thing is, they did do something that was really cool. What they did is, because I always complained about, I hated hit points in games when hit points get really big. Because hit points make sense when you can still be killed by, like, 2 to 4, like, sword blows. That can kill you. You're like, oh, man, you know, the fight can be intense. That's what Played in Fantasy's kind of got going for it, because you gain very little HP.
Fantasy.
You've never played it. You can't judge.
No, I'm going to judge all at once.
Some Star Wars fanboy. I believe
your screen name was Jar Jar Lover for a very long time.
No, I got that tattooed on my ass. I'm still trying to get it lasered off.
Nice.
I was like, Jar Jar's going to be the best character. But, no, so I always complain about hit points being way too big in games. So it's like, why can the fighter take a can? Like, by the rules, why can the fighter take a cannonball to the face?
Redundant organs.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, he's clearly got redundant organs. So that was the one thing. But what they did in the Star Wars game is you had 2 points. You had HP, which was your constitution, and that never changed.
Yeah.
So you would generally would have, if you did it straight up, on averages 9 to like 15.
Yeah, it was like, then, I think it was below 20.
Oh, yeah, because you can't roll 20 on 3D6. Yeah. And then you would have, unless you were like a Wookiee, because then you could roll an 18 and get a plus 2.
Yeah.
So, or Trandoshan, you get a plus 4. So you could actually
be... Trandoshan.
Whatever, dude, Bosco's cool. fuck those Wookiees. Then they added Vitality, which Vitality was where you get all your big hit points. So you'd have a huge Vitality pool of, like, you know, 200, and then you're like, you have HP of like 15.
Yeah.
But what they did in the game is when you take a critical, the damage goes directly to your HP. So by the rules, a fucking level 1 scrub stormtrooper could crit Yoda.
Yeah.
Crit Yoda and kill him in one shot.
Which is awesome.
Which is cool. And I like that. And then if you made a character, you could make it a more like finesse style character, like a Han Solo style character who's a sniper.
Yeah.
And you can take the extra criticals, the better criticals, the weapon finesse.
Yeah.
So you lower your crit threshold. So you play your character to have like a 15 up to crit. So you're like, fuck yeah, if you want to kill a dude, 15 up, bam, sniped. And what they did to balance that for like the monster encounters is monsters didn't have their vitality HP scores were gigantic.
I like monster encounters because everyone always encountered the same monster.
Rancors. I actually played the one longest running Star Wars game that I ran. They didn't fight a single Rancor.
No.
Nope. They fought Dubox. They fought the.
That's gotta be lame. We're fighting a Dubox.
No, it was awesome. No, see, this is why it was badass because they were like running through the jungle and then it suddenly just had Dubox fucking come out at them. I'm like, Dubox, getting you, and they're like, oh shit, Dubox. And I had them fight. Oh, they fought Sarlacc. Not on Tatooine, but they fought a Sarlacc. And then there was... I tried to use as many monsters that, like... The Sarlacc was the most iconic one I could use. Because I tried to set it up so I could describe the monsters to them and make them go, like, that's a Sarlacc. Obviously, that one's easy.
Yeah.
But, like, the Dubek, I was like, oh, shit, Wampa! Yeah, or Wampa. Yeah, but that's what I tried to just describe the monster and see if they could get it. And then...
it's like, oh, shit, Wampa is, I think, going to be the name of this podcast.
Oh, shit, Wampa.
Oh, shit, Wampa!
Wampas. Wampas were actually kind of a joke in that game. They were actually really easy to beat. So it's like, when you see, that was the other thing that was funny too, is because all the role playing games quantified the struggles that the characters went through in the movies with numbers.
Yeah.
So when you look at those numbers and you look at the movies and you're like, fucking Luke, how was it so hard to kill a Wampa? This thing's got like 60 HP. Luke sucks.
No, Luke got chumped. He got chump punched.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
getting wrecked by the Wampa. Like,
no, it was just like, Luke just sitting there and saying, oh shit, Wampa!
Well, yeah, but I mean, that means Luke must have went from like level 1 to level 8 in that scene, in the cave. Because at first he's one-shotted by a Wampa. So he's like, but he's not dead, so he wasn't critted.
It's like a crit. But no, okay, maybe he didn't get killed, but I mean, it took a lot out of him.
Yeah, it took him out. So the Wampa critted him.
Yeah,
alright, that's fair.
Because Wampa's got stealth.
Yeah, the Wampa critted him with a stealthy attack. A stealthy sneak attack.
Wampa's guts, they're like ninjas. They're the ninjas of Hawk.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, makes sense. They're all dressed in white, and they're always throwing stars and shurikens, and they have the kunai.
Nunchucks.
Yeah. I mean, didn't you see the scene where the fucking Wampa's wailing on Luke's balls with the nunchucks?
Was that the second re-release that they did?
No, I think it's in the upcoming one. Where there's the final scene of the... what's the technical last movie? It's Jedi, I guess. Yeah. The final scene of Jedi where you see the ghosts and you see
Hayden Christensen.
There's actually now just a scene of George Lucas sitting naked on a bear rug fucking jacking off. And he's just like, yeah, you like my mythology, don't you?
Is he jerking off?
And then he fucking fires his load right on the camera.
Yeah.
That is what you're going to see.
Oh, I do not doubt it. I do not doubt it. Because with Star Wars The Phantom Menace, ruined gaming because it added so many bullshit elements. Everything had to be a Jedi. And not even that.
But roll your midichlorian count.
Because everyone had, like, you know, everyone had, like, the custom light. Everyone had to have the fucking bullshit lightsaber. It's like, okay, you have a lightsaber. Well, I want a double lightsaber.
Oh.
No, you don't get a double lightsaber. Because only Darth Maul has a double. Oh, if Darth Maul has a double lightsaber, how come I can't have a double lightsaber?
I was always partial to the two lightsabers.
Dual wielding
lightsabers?
Bullshit. Bullshit, you cannot dual wield a lightsaber.
You can't even wield a lightsaber. It doesn't even make any sense. It's like,
how does the light know how to stop?
It's just a shaft. The weight on those things is nothing.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, you know when you swing a sword and you put strength behind it? There's no strength with a laser sword. You're just like...
It would be
a child would be extremely threatening with a lightsaber.
Double weapons never made sense ever.
Double weapons.
No, weapons make sense if it's a parrying blade and a long blade.
No, paired weapons make sense. Double weapons.
What if you had a lightsaber, like a little lightsaber, go with your big lightsaber to parry?
See, you know, that's
that would work for Dooku. But
yeah, Dooku was the fencer.
Dooku had the crazy curve, which I liked.
Yes,
I thought.
Well, that's because Christopher Lee's a classically trained swordsman.
He's just classy.
Everything about Christopher Lee is fucking classic. He was, yet again, the only highlight of Dark Shadows.
You saw Dark Shadows?
It's awful.
Is it?
I went in with rock bottom expectations. I expected it to be fucking, and it was worse.
But Christopher Lee
was in it, and I was like, and when literally I'm in the theater, and I hear they're like, they're talking about this old sea captain they're gonna see. He's like, gonna see the old sea captain. He's the wisest of all. And I'm just like, it's a Tim Burton movie, and Tim Burton loves Christopher Lee, so I'm just like,
and it was
Christopher Lee. I'm like, Christopher Lee. That's what I did. If I ever saw Christopher Lee in person, I would faint like a girl. I'd be like, oh, Mr. Lee. I'd fall down.
Oh my!
Yeah, Christopher Lee's a badass.
You do heat up my southern blood.
You're giving me the vapors.
Oh shit!
Yes, that's how that went.
Giving me the vapors. But anyway, so you have Star Wars Episode One, which in terms of me, it was like I watched Star Wars Episode One. I saw that movie nine times. Nine times I saw that movie.
In the theater.
In the theater.
Wow.
I should say, like, I saw it, like, five times in, like, the regular theater, but back then, movies were only cost, like, $4 to get in, so it wasn't a big deal. And then I saw it five times in the dollar theater, because I had a dollar theater near my house.
You know what you were doing?
What? I was a senior in high school at that point. I was actually getting laid at that point, and I was still
saw. And you saw Star Wars nine times?
Nine times.
Wow.
Actually, what's really funny is then I got my first job when I was in college.
Rim job? You got your first rim job in college?
Yeah, I got my first...
Seal Darth Maul.
I got my first like job in college, and my boss, my shift supervisor, I worked in a warehouse. My shift supervisor, he was like, "You like Star Wars?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm a huge Star Wars fan." He's like, "Check this out." Pulls back his like pant leg on his cap. He's got like a huge Darth Maul. And I'm like, "Oh, that's badass." He's like, "Saw it 19 times."
Oh.
And I'm like, this dude is like, I'm like, "Oh man." His name was Greg. He seemed like the type of guy that would see it 19 times.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh.
It's going to say Star Wars.
Still the best thing ever. And then I saw Star Wars Episode 2, and I was just like, oh, God, is this movie ever going to end? I only saw that one in the theater twice.
But it did have, this party's over.
This party's over.
Weren't you photoshopping Sam Jackson into, like, group shots at one point? And just like, this party's over?
Constantly.
So there's the tea party, and there's a little Mace Windu, and this party's over.
My favorite one I ever did was, it was a crowd shot from Bilbo's birthday from Lord of the Rings. And it was, like, everyone, and then just, like, if you notice in the background, there's a little Sam Jackson up there. And it said, you know, 111th birthday, it's over.
This party's over.
111th birthday party.
Speaking of Sam Jackson... You gotta tell me you've seen The Avengers.
I have seen The Avengers.
What a boner jam. Like, that movie was in there. Oh, my God.
Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. All right. Let's get through Star Wars.
There's so many more interesting things to talk about than Star Wars. No, but now that I'm thinking about it, like, doing an entire cast about Star Wars.
No, we're not gonna do it. The entire thing. I told you, we're not gonna do the entire thing.
All right.
So, anyway, you get Star Wars Episode 3, and I think...
Which is, I would say, definitely the strongest of the prequels.
But it's the most ridiculous. It's just like, I'm
sorry. He was killing younglings. but see, here's the thing about Star Wars.
Anakin got me pregnant. He put his youngling juice inside me.
See, here's the thing about Star Wars, though. And this is something that I truly mean, and I will. This is going out to every Star Wars fan. Or X-fan. The quotes. Like, the quotes we have now, almost worth... The badness.
And this is what I say. I tell people, like, when it comes to Star Wars, I go, you look at the original trilogy and you can quote the original trilogy completely seriously.
Yes.
Like, you could say, I thought it smelled bad on the outside. Yeah. And people will laugh.
They'll be like, Star Wars. The shared experience.
You quote anything. You can't. There's never any really good quotes from Star Wars Episodes 1, 2, and 3 that you can't take seriously. They're joke quotes.
Yeah. They're all joke quotes.
Oh, Joe.
Love me like you did it back by the lake.
No. Hold me like you did in the lake at Naboo when all there was our love.
Before this war, when there was only our love.
She died of a broken heart.
Bleep, bloop, bloop, bloopity, bleep, bloop. See, the bloopity, bleep, bloop was obviously the best line.
You were the chosen one!
You were supposed to bring balance to the Force, not destroy it!
my favorite quote, I think, is from Star Wars Episode 1. And it's a throwaway character. He's like one of the dudes in the chamber that's hanging out with Queen Amidala, the democratically elected queen of Naboo. I don't remember his name. I think it was like Sid something or other.
Noob Saibot.
Get over here. No, but he's sitting there and he's looking at the guy and he looks at it and he goes, they've jammed our communications. That can only mean one thing. Invasion.
That old dude?
Yeah.
It's my favorite line.
Is his name like Seb Plurbit or something?
I'm pretty sure Seb Plurbit is his name. I used to know all the Star Wars
Yeah, I used names. To do it too. But the thing was...
That's one thing I'm glad... I've replaced it with more important things like anything else.
Anything else. But that's the thing is like, I sometimes sit there and I'm like... Like, Diana will be like, the cable's out. I'll be like, it can mean only one thing. Invasion. It's such a stupid.
Does she get it?
No.
Does she look at you like you're an idiot?
There's in the second.
She should. She really should.
In the second movie, the only thing that you can quote is "This party's over."
And then you could quote legitimately. I agree with that.
Well, you know, you can't even quote it legitimately. That's a joke quote too.
You kind of can though.
And in the third one, there's like everything is just like a giant joke in that movie.
Yeah, it's awful.
And I think what bothers me about the Star Wars legacy as a whole is its joke.
It's a joke.
Like, everything about Star Wars, like, the guys who are really into Star Wars now, you look at them and you're just like, really, dude?
Dude, the party is over.
The party is over. Samuel Jackson got that right.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson's right. He went on to do The Avengers, not staying in Star Wars land.
Well, I mean, and there's certain things that are still good. Like, I watched The Clone Wars, and I actually kind of like it. It's not bad.
I won't watch it, because like I said, I will never touch anything Star Wars again.
But gaming-wise, actually, Fantasy Flight put out the new Star Wars minigame.
It's not out yet, but yeah.
Yeah, the X-Wing and Y in the X-Wing game. And there was the collectible mini game that was out for a very long time.
Yeah, that did okay.
And it did fairly well, the pre-painted minis.
Mm-hmm.
People really seemed to like that.
It's actually, and the thing about that one is that it didn't really seem like, from what I could tell, anybody I knew was buying it all for role-playing.
Yeah.
Nobody bought it for the game.
No, well, the game was terrible.
Well, no doubt. It's a D20 skirmish game. Awful.
Yeah.
Did have really good vehicles though, the AT-STs.
Oh yeah, everything. The AT-AT was really good.
Really
too.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was I actually kind of just wanted one of those just to have.
And there was the whole thing where they did the Starship Battles game, and the Starship Battles game worked really well for it as well because obviously they weren't in scale with your figures, but there was a lot of the battles in the Star Wars role-playing game are space combat, and having a big amount of ships you can use,
yeah,
fantastic.
And I know a lot of people that liked using those ships for full thrust.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
well, full thrust is like that type of spaceship game where you can customize it with any whatever ships you wanted.
Yeah, you can have the flying dildo mobile. That's what I would have. The dildicons.
Oh, the dildicons are attacking, sir.
The dildicons are attacking. Puncture. Pucker your sphincters. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Picard.
You've been... You've been selected by the Starlink to protect the borders of the frontier from the Dildons.
Do you think I could get Patrick Stewart to record a line like that on my phone?
Probably. You pay him enough.
I don't know, he seems kind of awesome. Patrick Stewart seems like the kind of dude who would, like, just hang out with you and, like, take a couple shots.
He'd be like,
oh, what do you got here? Whiskey? Would you have one for me, Patrick Stewart? And you're like, fuck yes I do, Patrick Stewart. Why are you in my house? It doesn't even matter. Come in. Drink.
Do you like West End games?
Yes, I do.
Would you like to play some? He's like, I broke my DM guide. He pulls out his like guide. He's going through it.
Patrick Stewart strikes me as the kind of guy who's definitely rolled some dice.
He's like reading off everything, and you find out Patrick Stewart's a terrible DM.
he's awful.
But
you don't care because you get to listen to him talk.
He's playing all the NPCs, and he's not letting you do anything. All the NPCs are leading the action. He's like, and then Junior says, no, we should go to the dungeon this way. I think you should follow Junior.
It's like, yes, sir. It's like, no, I don't want to follow Junior. Rocks fall. You die. Anyone else not want to follow Junior down the stairs into the creepy dungeon?
Then at the end of the game, he's like, well, my job is done. Touches his nose and he flies off. That's how I imagine the night would go. Yeah. It would be magical.
Yeah, it would be great.
Yeah. But anyway, so I think, like, that's my thing on Star Wars with Star Wars games.
The games got worse when the movies got worse.
It was like that, right when that happened, everything that Star Wars touched had to be the new series.
Yep.
Which I understand for marketing's sake. Don't get me wrong, I understand what he was doing. Like, you're not going to sell anything of the new stuff unless you inundate the market with it.
Yeah.
But the problem was that it was so kiddy that there was no substance behind it. It was all very hollow.
Yeah.
And that was my problem with the games.
Well, I mean, if the whole goal for the new trilogy was to create new Star Wars fans and alienate the old ones,
it did a fantastic job.
Because there are a bunch of little kids who love Star Wars now, but they don't like Star Wars. They like the new Star Wars.
Yeah, and this is a weird.
So I assume if George Lucas's like, you know, breathing apparatus or whatever keeps when George Lucas looks like Vader 10 years from now. He's going to make another 3 Star Wars movies that the kids who are like Star Wars now are going to hate. They're going to be like, this movie's a shit!
Well, the way I kind of look at it is...
Where's Jar Jar?
In 1999, a wall was erected. And, like, all the Star Wars fans ran at that wall at top speed. And there was, like, a bunch of them who just, like, hit the wall, boom, and fell backwards. That was me. Yeah. I was just like, this is fucking bullshit. And there was a lot of fans who...
I blame Kevin Smith.
Not Kevin Smith.
No, I'm going to blame Kevin Smith.
You know who I blame? In all honesty, I blame Harry Knowles. That's who I blame. The guy from Annie Cole News.
I blame Kevin Smith.
You do?
I know who Harry Knowles is. Harry Knowles looks like I've heard Harry Knowles looks like a fusion of me and Dan Duck.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Like, if you took Dan Duck and myself and rolled us together to one man.
Kept the same body mass, yep. Yeah.
Harry Knowles.
Both of your body masses.
Yep. And the facial structures combined.
Explain why you blame Kevin Smith.
Oh, no particular reason.
I'm just fucking blaming Kevin Smith. Well, Kevin Smith, like, he lauded episode 3. And,
yeah, I know.
And, like, I was just like... No.
It's too late for that, Mr. Smith.
It's too late. No.
Where's the Clerks cartoon? Bring it back.
It's cold, Obi-Wan. That's what the name of the podcast is.
That's cold, Lando.
Hey, Lando. What's up?
Hey, kids. I'm here to do the Science Says segment.
No, the games got progressively worse.
Yeah.
And that's because it was like it felt hollow to me. And, yeah. But the sad thing is that there was plenty of people my own age and older who like embraced the new trilogy completely, and I'm just like, you fucking sellouts. Fuck you and everything you stand for.
You stand for nothing.
You are a hollow person. Hollow.
Shun them, children. Shun.
Yeah, and there you go. But anyway, let's talk about some newer things. One thing I want to talk about, the new Forge World book. I don't know if you've seen it.
Monsters Arcanum?
No, the new one.
Mm.
Third one that's going to get released probably late this year. Is going to be a Forge World based on the Battle of Blackfyre Pass with orcs, goblins, dwarves, and empire.
Well, seeing as I don't play any of those armies,
yeah,
don't care.
I'm sure there's going to be some other stuff in there, but it looks fucking amazing.
Is there going to be more chaos dwarf stuff in there?
No, but they're going to be doing dwarf stuff.
Well, you can repurpose that for Chaos Dwarfs.
No, you can't. I already have my Chaos Dwarf army.
Whatever, dude. Your Chaos Dwarfs aren't real.
And actually, the...
anytime I see your Chaos Dwarfs, I'm going to cast derision upon them.
Derision.
Like, oh, stupid big
ass. I think how you said cast derision, and because we're doing a gaming podcast, I immediately thought it was like a spell. Like, I'm going to cast derision.
I would be willing to bet that is a spell.
You roll the dice, and it's like, oh, well.
No, you make one guy really angry and just like... Yo, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. Rolls the dice. It's like, well, that guy turns against his unit.
Yeah, exactly. You make someone turn against his unit. It's like, excellent casting of your derision spell, Magnanimous.
And I want to talk about the Ogre Kickstarter thing. Have you seen this?
Which, dude, I see so many Kickstarters per day.
No, this is the, you know the game Ogre, right?
It's
a hex-based tank
game. Oh, yeah, Steve Jackson.
Steve Jackson Ogre.
The game's a piece of shit.
You don't like that game?
I hate that game.
I like that game.
I'm not a fan.
I've only played it a couple times. I like it. But it raised, what was it, something like...
3,888% of its goal. It was like $1 billion.
It was close. I think it was, I want to say it was like $90,000.
I mean, I'll say this. The game's component, like, I will probably give the refurbished one a go.
Yeah.
I didn't like the original, but the original is a 25-year-old game.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming there's going to be some tweaking done here and there. The component's really nice. The box that's coming in is about 20 pounds.
Yeah.
It's $100. Retail price,
yeah,
but from what I've seen from the components, that's like a steal.
It's such a Grognard game. It's like a game that only like old timey like mini game players are gonna play, or gamers, not mini gamers, because it's not really a mini game. It's a standard like
it's a board game.
Yeah, it's a board game, yeah. But it was just like
with strong miniatures overtones,
strong miniature overtones,
and just like anything else, Lord of the Rings, it's highly collectible.
We should do an entire podcast where we just talk nothing but good things about Lord of the Rings. Like, we force ourselves.
I fucking love those movies.
No. Good. I'm talking the mini game.
Fuck that. I quit. You're on your own for that one.
That and the click one, which was just the GW minis, one like upped up to 35 mils and their plastic pre-painted ass.
You mean the game they made so no one else could make a pre-painted game?
Yeah.
That's why that game existed.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Most people don't know that. It's like, yeah, guess what? That game, not out there for your enjoyment. That game was so nobody else could make it. They didn't give a fuck. They were like, make this game as cheap as possible. You make sure you get Aragorn in there.
Make sure you get Aragorn.
What about Boromir? Make sure you get Aragorn in there. What about Boromir? Whatever, he's dead. Throw him out.
I absolutely loved every time some kid would come into the store and say Aragorn, and then everyone just flipped their shit at the little kid. It's like, it's Aragorn, you fuckhead! You little shit!
I just wanted to see the toys!
Shut the hell up, you little bastard! Get out of here! Learn how to pronounce it correctly! Oh, Marnius Kelgar, you're my only friend.
No, he said Marnius.
Marnius.
Marnius Kulgar.
Marnius Kulgar.
Marnius. Marnius Kulgar.
He's got sunglasses.
Yeah, dude, he's got shades, and he's just like, it's like, this is Marnius Kulgar. Deal with it.
Deal with it. That's Marnius Kulgar.
I used to do that because there were so many like butthurt older GW guys who would get so upset when I would like say verse. There was one guy who almost like gotten like a physical altercation with me because I was just like, "You gonna verse your teams today, buddy?" And he's like, oh, "I'm going to battle my army," and I'm like, "Yeah, verse your teams. That's what I said. What team do you have?" And the dude was going, he was like raging about it. I'm just like, "Verse teams, versing teams. We're gonna verse our teams." I'm like, "Richie, what team you got?" And he's like, "Necrons." I'm like, "Yeah, what team you got, guy?" And he's like, Red Scorpions. Yeah, verse the teams.
Verse all the teams.
So there was that. And then I would mispronounce things just savagely. Like Marnius Kulgar.
Yeah, you do that regardless. That's your M.O.
It is kind of the thing. Like Catton.
Catton.
Yeah, you want to buy some Catton? Yeah. I have a bunch of my customers calling it Catton now.
Do you really?
Yep, it's awesome. He's like, I need 3 copies of Catton and 3 copies of Cities and Nights Catton. I was like, yes! It's spreading! I think I have a lot of things that I just repeat and say enough to... I create memes.
Yeah, you
like,
do.
Like, Chops.
Chops was one of them.
Verse. What kind of verse? Like, I heard one kid say verse, and then I just used it over and over. And then, but Chopsville, taking the victory train. The victory train.
Yeah, the victory train.
Pointing cigarettes at victories.
Yeah, Vic, that's something that took off.
Let's go take a victory. Because I remember there were two guys who I'd never seen before in the bunker, and they're like, let's go get a victory. And I was just like, are they going to smoke? And I look and they go, I'm like, they're smoking! Victory! It caught on! I feel like George Costanza a lot. Where I'm just like, I got this! This is all I got going for me, Jerry! This is all I got!
There was... That was... Yeah, there was a lot of that going on. I remember there was a guy who absolutely a higher up at GW who hated the term gubbins. And like,
but that's an orc term. That's a GW term.
No, I'm sorry, not gubbins, swag. Hated the word swag.
Okay.
And just like whenever we'd say like, oh, we're giving away free swag, you can't fucking put that in any of the fucking material. I'm the fucking king of fucking GW. Suckle.
Did he have a crown with the Aquila on it?
It was like, like suckle.
Did he wear it like Joffrey on the jaunty angle? And he's like, I'm your king. You cannot do that.
Yeah. He was like, suckle upon my teat, for it is the only milk and sustenance that you will have. I worked at a summer.
Marnius Coolgar.
Marnius Coolgar. That's going to be your new name on this podcast.
Nice. Hello, I'm your friend, Marnius Coolgar.
I'm going to be Lemon Russ.
Lemon Russ.
No, Lemon.
Lemon Russ.
Lemon Russ.
Lemon Roos.
Roos. Lemon Rust. Nice. This is Marnius Coolgar.
Lemon Rust sounds like a Shock Image website. You'd be like, lemonrust.com. Oh, Jesus! It's worse than Blue Waffle and Lemon Party combined!
Meat spin.
You spin
me right round, baby, right round. Don't go to any of those websites, kids.
Go to them immediately and show your parents. Tell them where you heard it.
No! I got fired.
You can't get fired from a podcast.
Yeah, you can.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we can start a new one.
Let's start a new one. That's not the point!
We just keep starting new podcasts. We'll set up fucking franchises. We'll make t-shirts. We'll sell them out of the back of your van.
Yeah.
Which is also where we'll live.
Another new thing that came out. Fantasy Flight's moving a lot of their rule books to digital download.
A lot of things are going to digital download.
I saw that they had the Dust Warfare rule book for digital download. My only problem with it was
Dust Warfare, no one's ever going to notice?
Well, no, it was that they were selling it for $40 on digital download. I'm like, wait.
That's the thing. A lot of these places aren't offering discounts for the digital download, which is like...
I'm like, they're not quite getting the concept.
Yeah, exactly.
The digital download. It's supposed to be a bit cheaper, you see. They were selling it for $20 on sale, but I'm just like, well, once the sale ends, is it going to go back up to $40? Because if it goes back up to $40, that's stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like, $20 is all right. That's still a little high for a digital download.
And I mean, I understand. I want to actually talk about digital downloads a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit about Kodak Film and why they're going under.
Digital downloads.
Digital downloads. I am, on one hand, completely against, and on the other hand, completely for. And here's what my points are. If you're a DM.
Yeah.
And you're buying all of the fucking books. Because if you're a DM, guess what? Nobody else is buying shit. They're not buying miniatures. They're probably not buying their own dice. They're not buying any fucking book.
How do they not buy their own dice?
All right, my gaming group that I go with, all gamers, all, like, long-term gamers. 1, 2, 3 of them bring dice.
That's their own damn fault.
But I'm saying, like, you have, like, that is how it works. A bunch of people do not bring their own dice. So, I'm not going to fault them because I have a shit ton of dice. They can use mine.
I got a shit ton of the dice.
I have a lot less than I used to. But, I mean, I'm not going to fault them because they can use mine. Yeah. That's fine. But I'm saying, if you were the DM, you are accepting the financial responsibility of running the game.
Yeah.
Like, every time.
But, I mean, when I imagine a DM, I imagine, like, the old pictures of, like, the scribe with all the books, like, around him.
But see, that's...
Like, with a quill.
That's,
like,
you know what that is? That's really fucking expensive.
I know.
So, I want to buy any books that my players will need to see. I want a physical copy. Yeah. So, core book, physical copy. If the game's cheap... because they have a bunch of games that are really reasonably priced because they have soft cover core books.
Yeah.
Or, like, even Rifts is a good example because Rifts is a hardcover, but it's, like, $30.
Yeah.
Which is, like, dirt cheap for a fucking hardcover. I'll buy multiple core books. So I'll have, like, 2 or 3. So you say, you're like, a Pathfinder core book is $55. So 2 Rifts core books or 2 lower price core books are that price or even less, depending. Yeah. So I'll buy a couple of those so I can hand them out to the players so they need those. Now, if I want supplement books or other things like that.
Or supple.
I want to be able to afford them all, and I want to be able to have easy access to them. And a lot of times for me, that's not buying the book. It's having them on the computer, so I can be like, oh, I need to check this adventure thing. I'll double-click, and I'll look, and be like, oh, okay, got that. And that's why I support digital download. But I'm a big fan of having the book. But the other thing, too, is the disposability of adventure modules. Like, once you've used an adventure module...
You're not going to use it again.
It's done. Yeah. It's a disposable thing. That's why they're usually cheap. They're usually, like, $10 to $20, which is a fair price, because they're usually good.
Which is a fair price for an adventure.
I'll buy it at a high price. But... I want to pay $10 for the $20 book, and I want to pay $5 for the $10 book, because I'm just going to use them once. I'm going to look at my computer and say, okay, here they fight three Grognards. Done. And then once it's done, I can put it in a folder, save it away in case I ever need to look at it again, maybe for reference or something. If I want to reference one of the old, like if I want to take one of the characters who was a minor character in the adventure path and then maybe make him into a bigger character in the next story, I could do that and he'll give you all the reference. So they're handy. But
yeah.
Keeping a bunch of adventure paths?
Eh.
Meh.
Eh. Yeah. I mean,
No reason to.
Like, I like to look through a rule book and
I love rule books. That's like core books. I will own a physical copy.
And
sometimes a digital copy of core books.
I like being able to go through it and like check on the rules and stuff like that. Even like when I'm sitting in the car, just for something to read.
I want to imagine you driving like 85 down the highway on your phone, looking at it going like, what is that saving throw?
No.
Just staring off to space on your phone like, I really need to know a saving throw.
In my household.
Cut me off, you son of a bitch.
In my household, it's all about Diana drives. Everywhere. She drives everywhere. She refuses to let me drive anywhere. So I'm like, whatever, I get to sit in the passenger side and just read the entire time, which I enjoy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And
I've done the same on many occasions.
So I've actually, because Fantasy Flight's been really good. They always put out,
you know, they're such a fucking good company.
They're fantastic.
They're a great company. If you don't own a Fantasy Flight game, go buy one. Just go to the store, make sure it's the base game.
Buy Sky Traders or something.
Space Alert?
Space Alert. Buy Fortress USA.
Colossal Arena. Just go to the game store, buy yourself a Fantasy Flight base game. All of their games.
Chaos in the Old World. Just played it for the first time.
The game's amazing.
Fantastic.
The game is great. All of the
Kudos to Cliff for introducing me to Chaos in the Old World.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you didn't... All of the Workshop games are great. All of the Fantasy Flight Workshop games,
yeah.
They're all excellent. The Space Hulk card game, better than the re-released... But I think it's better than the re-released Space Hulk miniatures game.
I would... That's a challenge, sir.
It's a big challenge, but I don't like the space... I didn't like the redone Space Hulk miniatures game. The figures were fantastic.
Oh, the figures were beautiful.
But, I mean, it was so... I was like, eh. After playing it a couple times, it was just kind of like...
Well, Chaos of the Old World was fun. I think part of the problem was Josh Redman was cheating the entire time, so...
Well, he's a known savage cheater.
He's a known savage cheater.
Yeah.
He's like, God damn it!
That man is so fucking gigantic. He's the mountain who rides.
Josh Redman is the mountain who rides. The milkshake who rides. There you go.
So he is.
There you go. And it's like he cheated, so I didn't win. But I enjoyed the hell out of the game.
That's the best, like, that is the best disclaimer of anything else. It's like, I love the game, but the guy I was playing with cheated because he's a fuck. But I love the game.
Josh Redman is not a fuck.
No, Josh Redman is the milkshake who rides.
He's
an awesome guy.
No, I enjoyed that a lot. At the last gaming group, I played that.
Not like a Dan Delanois. No, what a dick.
Like, cheats all the time. But we're starting Necromunda, so that's fun.
Yeah. Can I use my Dark Age figures for Necromunda?
No.
Well, fuck that, then.
What are you going to use them as?
I don't know.
I'm playing Delacuse.
I could use them as the scummer guys who live in the sewers.
I don't know if they're doing scummers.
Are they in the game. The dudes who live in the sewers.
Yeah, but they're not in the new rule book.
There's a new rule book?
Yeah. Necromunda is like Hive Gangers or whatever, something. I don't remember what the name of the re-release rulebook is.
Is it coming from Workshop?
Yeah, I don't think it was released a while ago. You were still working for the company when it was released.
Oh, yeah, but no, the scummers are in there.
Are they in there?
Yeah, because that's the dude who rides the big rat.
No, that's the Ratskins.
Oh, whatever. Dude, I never played Necromunda.
I've never played either, so I had to actually go out and get my Delacuse.
I'm good. I got enough miniatures games.
I don't know. I should. It's Delac.
But I have to sell a bunch of miniatures games.
Everyone will be like, it's not pronounced Delac.
If anyone is interested in some Warmaster Orcs and Goblins, I have a huge Warmaster Orcs and Goblins for us. A bunch of it is a full core set. Box that is painted.
Don't use this as a platform to sell your goddamn game.
But this is the only way I'm going to find someone who wants Warmaster.
No. Trust me. People buy Warmaster all the time.
Yeah. Who was thinking should put it on the bay or should I hit the forums?
You could either do either or. I think there's, like, if you put it around, you might... The nice thing about the forums is, like, it's the old Seinfeld episode where it's, like, interesting trades accepted. Yeah.
You made me write that! But I thought you were interested in interesting trades. You wrote that in the ad!
That's exactly what it says. Like,
I did play a game of Dark Age.
Did you enjoy it?
It's phenomenal.
Is it?
It is really, really fun. Really fun.
Yeah, I see you haven't really done anything painting-wise with them.
No, I'm actually going to take my time on them, a long time on them, so I'm really...
Oh, so now you're going to finally bring them up to tabletop quality.
That joke, not getting old.
No, I'm actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, once
you're going to paint him as ghosts? Is that what you're going to do?
Yes, because I'm not going to call anybody out. No, I'm actually going to paint them up to in the best I can do, and I'm going to enter them in painting competition. Oh. That's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to enter these big boys in squad. I'm going to enter the student large single, and I'm going to use them.
You'll have my shoulder to cry on when you lose savagely.
No, see, it's free to enter those things.
I know, but I'm just
saying. I don't need to cry about it. That's you.
But just when you...
When you get waffled. They're like, get your hand in the waffle press!
Yeah, pretty much. How it is. I'm working on my Golden Demon entry right now.
Yeah, fuck Golden Demon. Do you even win any money from that?
No, you don't win anything. You just win a trophy.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But the trophy's all that I want!
You'll never win it now.
Because, you know what? I predict the future.
This is the
future I predict for you. You will win many painting competitions. Perhaps have your name in lights, but you will never, ever win the Golden Demon.
I don't even want to win.
No demon.
No demon. No, I've never... I don't even care if it's gold. I just want a fucking trophy. That's all I want.
Really? You'd settle for the bronze?
I would settle
for the bronze. You should take the bronze and throw it around. This is horse shit! Fuck you, Drew Drescher! Because he obviously beat you.
No, Drew only does 40K. I'm not doing 40K. No, I'm doing the... well, I shouldn't say what I'm going to do because I don't want to... like people to be like, I'm going to do that.
You should get a dildo and just put it on a base and airbrush it and put a Slaanesh symbol on it and just enter it as a greater demon. And be like, it's a greater demon.
No, it's
all like... It would be awesome.
Jelly sword!
It's a jelly sword! And then you can put it on the table and turn it on, vibrate, and be like, anything it hits is dead. It looks like a wacky wiggler. It's like,
I would love to do like a Slaaneshi army, you know, where they got the pain whips and stuff like that. But instead of a pain whip, it's just a dildo.
Yeah, just jelly swords everywhere. And if you could really do it, you get the translucent plastic.
So oh god,
they're clear.
What are the guys they paying for? I was doing a bunch of I talk about.
Yeah, you know the adult figures with the tan lines.
No. I'm talking about the Necrons with the translucent. He was so livid that the new Necrons did not come with those little.
It was funny because we were discussing how much we liked that they didn't have the rods in the new ones.
He was livid that they didn't have it. He's like, oh, that's fucking bullshit. I'm like, that's just the way they are. They don't. It costs too much money, you know. To you know, they have to outsource that. That's not in house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, what if I buy a bunch of them and then I just have you convert it up? I'm like, yeah, I'll do that for you.
Oh, what hast thou done, Joe?
Hey, man.
I've got the guns, John!
I have the guns!
John Lithgow.
John Lithgow is awesome.
Lithgow.
Jonathan Lithgow.
I have the guns now, John.
I've got the guns.
If you ever listen to the Regular Planet Retreat podcast, me and Kevin have a fascination with John Lithgow and Cliffhanger. How after...
I remember when we were first talking, but it was when we had first met, we were talking about Cliffhanger, and I went, I've got the guns, John, and you lost your shit. You could not handle it.
But after every scene with him, you have to imagine, like it's like, cut, and he goes, well played.
He's like clapping.
He's clapping himself.
He's like, well done.
Well done. Well done, John. Well
incoming
done.
Message from the big giant head.
God. On that note, thank you for listening to Game Classy, which I know we didn't mention that today is Game Classy. But as Kevin from Planet Arbitrary pointed out, he goes, who's going to just stumble into this and just be like, what am I listening to? I have no idea. No.
You would kind of be, I figure if someone did, I would hope they would be offended very quickly and write us an angry letter.
Yeah.
not an email, not a forum post, not a blah, blah, a fucking letter.
In calligraphy, like, and, dearest!
And mail it, just write Game Classy and put it in the mailbox and be like, and now we play the waiting game.
Dearest Game Classy, I am highly offended.
You are offensive. You are very offensive, and I demand restitution.
I quite like Star Wars Episode 1. I took my dear old mother to see it.
I know this is not the time. We do not have enough time to plan for it this year, or probably like finance and make it, because it's just too Gen Con's too close. But next year, Gen Con, cosplay. You, me, Dandy Fops.
Oh, but yeah, sure. No problem.
I'm in on that. Just, oh, what do you have here? Dark Age miniatures game. Oh, how decadent. And everything has to be decadent.
Settlers of Catan.
My, what do you do here? Oh, little blocks. Oh, that's wood. Oh, how ridiculous. Ooh, how rude! What is that terrible odor? And then, yeah, we could insult people's body odor, but do it in a funny way so they wouldn't get, you know, upset.
Yes. Game Classy. Anyway, welcome to Game... And thank you for listening to Game Classy.
Welcome and goodbye.
Welcome and Classy. Goodbye. You could go to... at our home website of planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. Follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. Follow Steve at Beardy Gamer. Cthulhu.
Dot the Matrix.
Dot Matrix.
Ooh, nice. No Jar Jars.
.com/
Mighty Empires.
Creed Thoughts. Yeah, he's not on the online. Like us on Facebook. You can like both the Game Classy and the Planet Arbitrary page. Like Planet Arbitrary first. You can also go to our blogs... not blogs. Yeah, Blogspot. GameClassy.blogspot.com. I haven't really updated in a while. That's because I haven't taken pictures of my stuff.
Once I get my stuff, I'm working on it. I will get it done. Pictures. I don't want to do progress shots. I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan of progress shots.
They actually demotivate me when I, like, I know a lot of people can do progress vlogs for motivation, like keep going. People are like, yeah, it's looking great. Keep going. It actually demotivates me so much. I'm just like, fuck it. I hate this. I'm throwing this away. I actually threw a Golden Demon entry in the toilet because of that. I was working on a 28mm and I was like really working hard on the blends. I was like, ah, it's looking good, but it's taking so long. And I kept taking pictures. And I couldn't get pictures to show the blends. And someone was like, ah, it looks all right, but your non-metallic metals are bad. And I was like, I'm not using non-metallic metals. Toilet. Flush.
That was me. I was just like, it looks
tabletop. I don't think it was you. You would have been like, eh, it's kind of a low tabletop.
Yeah. How many hours did you work on this?
100.
You're not getting those back.
And no financial restitution.
I still think it was the funniest thing. You won second place. Here's $30. Wait, what do I get $30 for? You won second place. Wait, I got money for this?
What planet am I on?
What the fuck? Anyway, until next time.
It's always fun if you're...